Escape from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the podcast where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull. And this week we're talking about Season 44, Episode 19, the episode from May the 4th, 2019, with Adam Sandler hosting and Shawn Mendes musical guest.
May the 4th be with you.
Hey, oh, I see what you did there.
Haven't heard of that one, have you?
I have not.
I just made it up just now.
Wow.
Yep.
You should copyright that, because I have a feeling a lot of people are going to want to use that.
You think so?
Nah.
Nah, probably. Nah. I'll toss it out in the pile heap.
That's right.
How you doing, John? You all right?
I'm doing okay.
Still coming down from Avengers Endgame?
Yes.
All that gloriousness we saw?
Since we recorded our last episode, we pre-recorded those two episodes about the Avengers hosts.
Yes.
Before we saw the movie. We have since seen the movie. We went to an 8:30 showing.
Yes, we rolled deep.
We ran into our producer, Frank Hablawi, there.
Hey.
Who was seeing an 8 p.m. showing.
Yeah, who knew?
And
we saw the Lorne Michaels of this podcast.
A lot of the other non-pro people.
Yeah, yeah.
James was there, John Pope, and
John Minus.
Yep.
And then we had our crew. It was a beautiful feeling. We were all as one.
Yes.
That one night.
And, yes.
And guys, if you haven't seen, we're not going to spoil it. I'm just going to say the movie. It lives up to the hype. It's literally everything
worth
you could
the
want.
Wait.
Yes,
worth the wait.
Roller coaster of emotions, highs, lows, laugh. You'll definitely cry at some point.
Enemies became friends. Friends became enemies.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
It was great. I sincerely think it might be my favorite Marvel movie now.
Wow. You're making...
It's up there. Ooh. Top five, definitely.
Huh. All right.
It'll be a while before it all shakes out, but
right.
You know.
When don't write anything.
But it's a contender right now.
The strong contender.
Strong contender.
Far out. Yeah, but it's a great movie. It has a lot of fan service, I've noticed, in this thing. Like a lot of callbacks to other Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything I wanted and more.
I've already read a couple like horrible hot takes about it on social media.
Oh, yeah. So, of course, because, you know, if everybody likes one thing, you have to write up something that says how this isn't good.
If you're ever going to write a think piece about anything, just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop and look at your life.
Here are some reasons why the Beatles aren't such a great rock band.
Yeah. I am so sick of that. I am so sick of, like, here's where that thing you like actually sucks and why it's really problematic and blah, blah, blah.
Is Ray Romano here today? What was that? Wow.
It's my new character that I'm workshopping. Half Ray Romano, half Kermit the Frog.
Kermit Romano.
Kermit Romano.
Oh, please bring him back. We need him more.
Oh, so, hey, everybody, how are you doing?
Deborah. Wow. Oh, man, our improv skills are top-notch tonight.
They really are. They really are.
We're running hot.
I mean, it's especially impressive when you consider this is our third attempt to record this
episode.
It is,
yeah. We
pull back the curtain.
Pull back the curtain a little bit for our listeners. But yeah, this is gold so far.
I'm loving
it. All right, but yeah, Avengers Endgame, go see it. I mean, watch Infinity War first, but then watch Endgame.
And watch all the other movies before Infinity War.
Watch all 22 of those movies first, and then watch.
Call out of work, watch all 22 of those movies.
For a week.
Yes.
It might take you a while.
Yeah.
And then watch.
Don't take bathroom breaks.
No.
Just sit there and stew in your own juices.
Yeah. Oh. I wasn't going to say that. I was going to pee in a
Gator. You didn't have to. I did.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Jeepers. All right. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Avengers Endgame, it's all you want and more out of life.
That's right.
All right. But we're here to talk about Saturday Night Live.
We are.
The most recent episode. Now.
Yes, with favorite son Adam Sandler making his glorious return home. The prodigal son returns.
Yes.
Habba yuba. I'm back hosting Saturday Night Live.
Wow. I was thinking about the impression we'd run off doing. Mm-hmm. It's like one step away.
It's very accurate.
It's accurate, but it's also one step away from being like a full-on Jar Jar Binks impression. Like, I just thought about it. Like, wow, it's really Binks-esque.
Yeah.
And like, very close to being that.
Okay.
You know, Misa, Hisa, Wusa, Wisa.
I guess I can see that.
Was
sure.
that Binks or was that Sandler? You don't know.
It could be, you know, they really missed a bet by not having Adam Sandler voice Jar Jar Binks, I suppose.
Yeah. Interesting.
All do you think the character would have gone over better
if they had
Adam Sandler? doing the voice.
Oh, wow.
And stuff. No disrespect to Mr. Ahmed Best, but...
Oh, wow. Oh yeah, be best. I don't even know why I said that.
I don't know why. That just really tickled me.
His last name is Best. So yeah. Be best. I don't know. I think it would have gone a little bit better. Maybe if they had Adam Sandler voice Jar Jar Binks and had like... Jar Jar, break out an acoustic guitar and sing a song.
Sing a song about Hanukkah.
Festival of Light. I think, people are like, oh, I like this guy. He's relatable.
Yeah.
I think that would have been it.
That's just a great idea that we have there that we're just, you can have that.
That's right. You have that. Mr. Lucas, you can have that.
That's right.
You need a win.
You know, for the next special edition, just feel free to just redub Jar Jar Binks with Adam Sandler.
Yeah. You're welcome, Disney.
And just give us a little special thanks in the closing credits. That's all we ask.
That's all we want.
That's all we want.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
And maybe a Disney Plus password, if that'd be cool.
And maybe 1% of the profits. So we're set for life.
Exactly. That's all we want. Is that much? Too much to ask for? I don't think so.
Probably, but...
All right. Well, don't tell them that. I'm trying to get paid here.
Should we actually talk about the show?
Yes.
Okay.
We should. All right. So opening sketch. It looked like they did this little cool little misdirect where it looked like they were going to do a political opening with the C-SPAN, but then of course they say William Barr, of course he didn't show up, so it ended up with one of the Democrats eating chicken, which I guess was a real, I didn't even see it.
Yeah, that was a thing. This is the world we live in now.
That's our world now, so... But whew.
I blame social media. Everybody's trying to do like the gotcha zinger.
Yeah.
And
it's like, this is going to go viral once they see me
I'm going to eat chicken. And
It's like, can you just be... I miss when politics were just boring.
Yeah.
Like when they were just getting stuff done and not worrying about being entertainers and memes. And
What I'm freaked out by is he apparently had a bucket that actually said Kentucky Fried Chicken. I thought they all said KFC now.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Ooh, interesting.
I mean...
Maybe
is like Washington D.C. just hanging on to the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they haven't made the KFC changeover.
I know. I thought it was KFC everywhere. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask the Colonel about this.
I don't know.
Anyway.
So instead of William Barr's testimony, they did a cold open of Family Feud with Game of Thrones versus the Avengers, because those are the two things that everybody in the country still likes.
Not wrong.
Not wrong.
And
not wrong.
I mean, I know we've talked about Family Feud sketches in the past, and they always kind of run into the same problem where it just takes so long to introduce all the characters, and by the time they get to the game, it's like kind of...
And they actually acknowledged that. They said, just like the Avengers, we're going to spend 45 minutes introducing everybody.
Exactly. See, I'm not saying if they listened to this podcast and got the idea from that, but I'm not saying they didn't listen to the podcast and got the idea from that. So, you're welcome, SNL.
And I'm not saying that.
That's right.
Yeah. I think that was a quadruple negative.
Yeah, that works out.
Yeah.
Okay, I did the math. I don't know, what are your thoughts on this? So, it just had Beck Bennett dressed as Thanos.
We had Alex Moffat as Thor. Ego Nautum as Okoye.
Okoye.
Leslie Jones as I'm Groot, bitch.
Yeah, like some kind of dime store Groot.
Yeah. Literally just the headpiece and then just Leslie Jones on street clothes.
And them acknowledging that, we know it doesn't look like Groot, just go with it.
And on the Game of Thrones sides, we had Kate McKinnon as Brienne, Mikey Day as Tormund, Cecily Strong as the 1,000-year-old witch Melisandre, and Kyle as Bran. And then Melissa Villaseñor made a cameo as Arya Stark, who comes in to save them. I thought this was a weak opening, quite frankly.
No,
it was...
I mean, they did the thing that they kind of always do that I'm never crazy about, where they lean heavy on, you being familiar with it rather than actually write a joke for it.
It was more just like a, hey, I recognize that thing.
Yeah, remember this? Remember this episode? We're going to reference it. Mm-hmm. It's like, great. Is there a joke to go with that reference or is it just the reference and you're hoping that'll be enough to carry the sketch? Because, we saw Endgame. I haven't seen Game of Thrones. I don't really watch it. So, all the Game of Thrones stuff was just kind of...
Lost on us.
Very much lost on me. So, I was like, all right.
But we are in the minority there, to be fair.
Yes, that's true. We acknowledge that. We are the few.
Yeah.
But, other than that, I thought the sketch was pretty kind of weak. I mean, they had that one joke where Thor said, oh, I'm... a god, but I'm also from outer space. And then, of course, Keenan said, oh, so you were Scientologist.
Yeah, and they had a thing where they implied that I think they said that Thanos was Grimace on steroids, or they called him Jacked Grimace or something like that. It just,
I mean, they even said that they even used that Grimace line in Infinity Wars.
Also, like for the Avengers side, it was a very motley crew.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Thor, we have Thanos, and I'm like, wait a minute. Thanos is not an Avenger.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy, and I don't know Game of Thrones well enough to know if this is a similar problem on that side. And then Okoye and then Groot. It was just a very random assortment.
It was like and they even
of people.
Yeah, and they Leslie Jones was Groot, and she just literally was just herself in a brown shirt with like a Groot headpiece.
Right.
And like they even acknowledged, yeah, we know this doesn't look like Groot. It's just a woman dressed up as Groot. So I was like, well, why don't you just choose another character and have them dressed up better than this Groot? Like,
yeah.
I mean, where the jokes weren't strong enough really for you to justify just having her just kind of be like a half-assed Groot. Why don't you just? I don't know.
Yeah, it was just a weak opening. I don't have much more to say about that.
But. Neither do I.
All right.
In the trash pile it goes.
So let's move on. We have the monologue with Mr. Adam Sandler making his grand return.
Habaduba.
He came out. I noticed he came out like really, really slowly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was like he was just like, I don't have anything to prove, or this is just a reflection of being a dude in his 40s now. But he just, like, usually, like, when somebody comes out for the monologue, they just bound out, they got a lot of energy, and Adam Sandler just sort of, like, puttered on out.
I mean, he's always kind of been low energy, hasn't he? Yeah.
He is low energy when he's, like, off stage, which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, but even, like, when he was young and he was on the show, he has, like, that nervous kind of energy, like, oh, hey, everybody, hey, yo, hoya, hoya.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, now he's just older, and he's, like,
he's just a very mellow guy.
But I actually kind of like this monologue. I thought it was a pretty interesting. Well, you can go ahead and describe it, but I kind of dug this.
Well, let's see. I just have like a few stray notes. I thought it was interesting. He said he lost his virginity to a woman in this very studio.
I think that
the church lady. I don't know if that setup was a joke or not. Because he said he was like in his early 20s when he joined the show, like 23, 24, something like that. Yeah. It sounded like he was sincere. I don't know.
Yeah,
there were
some truth bombs being blown up here.
but the main part was he sang a song called I Was Fired, which was just about how he left the show, and he was actually fired from the show he and most of his cast. It was right before Will Ferrell and that whole cast came in.
Sherry O'Terry, Molly Shannon.
Right. That whole era. And that was the last time that Lorne really radically remade the show. He kept like literally, I think, three people. He kept David Spade, he kept Norm Macdonald, and he kept Tim Meadows. Am I forgetting anybody?
No, Meadows was on it for a while. Wait, didn't? No, he was on it for a while.
Yeah.
But then is that the era like where they brought in like Chris Elliott and
it was the year right after that. It was the year after the Janine Garofalo, Michael McKean, Chris Elliott year.
Yeah, like Laura Keitlinger and stuff.
I think pretty much everyone involved would say did not work.
Yeah.
And it was a real low point for the show. This was around the 20th season.
Right.
And then Lorne just was like, I got to do something radical. Mm. I think it's the closest the show has ever come to being canceled. And
really?
And so Lorne came in, he was like, I'm going to bring in almost an all new cast, and he really remade the show. He brought in Will Ferrell, he brought in Molly Shannon, brought in Laura Keitlinger, David Koechner.
Koechner.
Sherry O'Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Kattan was in around there somewhere. Yeah.
Parnell, too?
Parnell came along a little later, I think.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah.
But, so this song's about him getting fired. I always kind of like stuff like this where they kind of show you behind the curtain where, like, they do something on the show where they talk about, like, something that really happened, but, like, they joke about it, too, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our first of many cameos. Mr. Chris Rock comes out.
Chris Rock cameo!
Hey, Chris Rock!
And he sings a little verse just saying that he was fired, too, and then he went on and did In Living Color, and then that left the air three episodes later.
That's very true. Like, Chris Rock, I remember it. He was, like, after he got fired off SNL, he was on In Living Color, but it was like the downside of the downs.
It was like after the Wayans left Living Color.
After the Wayans left and Jim Carrey bounced, and then Jamie Foxx might have been around, but like he was there, and then literally like a month later, they just canceled In Living Color.
Yeah.
That was, oof.
So,
Yeah, that was, yeah.
I guess they were initially hoping that, like, Chris Rock would come in and maybe re-energize that show.
Yeah.
And then, probably because it was Fox, they were like, oh, well, no, he didn't immediately re-energize it, so let's just cancel the thing.
It's been three episodes and he hasn't re-energized it. Yeah. It's time to get rid.
I mean, and it's so unlike Fox to cancel a show really quickly. They never do that, but...
R.I.P. Firefly.
Exactly what I was thinking of.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah.
Such a good show. Oh, Joss.
Can't take this guy from me. But the joke I really liked was they had Pete Davidson come out, and he starts singing like, I was fired, and then Adam Sandler's like, no, Pete, you weren't. And Pete is like, I wasn't? How is that even possible? and Adam's like, no, don't worry, it'll happen. Just hang on.
See, stuff like that. Like, that's like some stuff that you don't joke about.
Yeah, I enjoy when they get meta like that.
Yeah.
It's fun. A little of that can go a long way, but this was just the right amount, I thought.
Yeah. But I dug it. I thought it was a great monologue. I liked it quite a bit.
Although I would have to point out that at the end of the song, Sandler sings a verse, tonight I'm rehired and I'm the happiest man alive because I'm back here hosting Saturday Night Live. If you're rhyming alive and live,
oh boy,
that's a lazy ass rhyme.
Wow, I didn't know you were like a songwriter here.
I'm just saying.
I knew you were such a wordsmith.
Maybe they could have done something a little more surprising.
All right, sorry, Paul Simon. Jeepers. I didn't know you were. Jesus. Lie.
So next we have the first sketch, which is a Warzone reporter with a CNN reporter reporting on chaos in Tripoli.
Right.
We have Cecily and Beck as the anchors, mm-hmm. and then Mikey Day as the field reporter, who is he can't broadcast from the satellite, so he's broadcasting through a social media app.
Right.
And the joke is there that all the images are coming through as Snapchat filters.
Right.
So he's like appearing as like a little kitty cat or
Goofy faces and
all
whatnot.
The goofy faces and stuff. And then Adam Sandler is leader of the rebellion that he's interviewing. And and Sandler's character gets really into the Snapchat filters and he's really enjoying them.
He's like, oh, I look like a little girl and whatnot. And there's like at some point rainbows barf out of his mouth, which I guess is a Snapchat thing.
Yeah.
I guess it's like one of those sketches. If you're a young folks, you'll dig it.
This was like catering to the millennials.
I think so. Yeah, because like I'm not on Snapchat, but I know of it. You just kind of stare at it a lot, and like your face turns into funny funhouse mirrors faces and whatnot. But
yeah, like, I don't know. I wasn't too nuts about this sketch overall, but maybe it's just because I'm not a filter person.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there was that one line Beck had that said, oh, do you know if those filters are free with the app or do you have to pay for it?
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, that's a cute little line.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as sketches go, I was like, all right, this is...
Yeah, I thought it was just at best, and I don't think it was something you want to lead off the night with. Yeah. I think this is something you put in the back half of the show.
Very much so. And I actually looked online and somebody mentioned that, like, how Adam Sandler's character was like kind of reminiscent of his old Iraqi Pete character from back in the day.
I can see that. He didn't have the
head garb.
Yeah, the head garb.
But it's like there's flashes of Iraqi. If guys look up Iraqi Pete, you'll see what it is.
You stick that mustache on Sandler. Yeah, yeah. You get the Iraqi.
Mm-hmm.
Is that problematic? Okay,
let's. Oh boy!
Just in case, no offense meant.
Yes, we love our Iraqi listeners.
Exactly.
And so we go from that sketch to
Kyle and Beck music video.
Yeah,
Close Our Holes.
I wrote down I missed the Lonely Island.
Yeah. Oh God, I miss the Lonely Island.
We didn't know how good we had it.
Wow.
Look, I know some people love Beck and Mooney. I know that
those people are wrong.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah, this was not good.
Yeah. Basically, it was like sort of like a Van Halen-esque, like a November Rain type of music, '80s rock video. But it's about how clothes are like just holes. Like
clothes have holes. They have like arm holes and leg holes and holes for your torso.
Yeah, we put our arms through the holes and our head through the holes.
And we put them on and they cover up our holes on our body.
And that's literally it. That's the
And that was it. And it goes on for I don't know how long. It
too long.
It was probably like 3 minutes. It felt like about 200.
Yeah, I try to give these Beck and Mooney sketches like the benefit of a doubt every time, and it's just like
I was not feeling good about the show at this point in the program. I was just like, this is not going to be a good show.
This is bad,
and they should feel bad.
Wow,
I went full Zoidberg.
Oh my god,
this is bad, and you should feel bad.
Yeah. I do not like this.
Yeah, it was good. It was not good. I mean,
it was.
I am so flabbergasted by the badness of the sketch, I cannot string a sentence together.
Yeah, it just got in your head and just short circuited your brain.
This is, bad comedy can just be like downright depressing sometimes, and this was depressing.
Yeah, and this was the second sketch of the night.
Yeah.
Maybe this is definitely like you put this in the back, like way back.
You cut this after Dress is what you do.
You do that. Like that's, way back, like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like when the show's not on, that's when you put it on.
Exactly. Yeah. You air it after, what is the show that airs here in the
Test Pattern?
No. First Look. You air it after First Look in the city.
I mean, if you're a person who loves Beck and Mooney, I mean,
You're wrong, you should stop it.
Okay, all right. I was trying to hand out like an olive branch here.
Go ahead.
Like if you explain it to us, like where the appeal is, I'm all ears. But I just nothing.
No, honestly,
I got nothing.
To be real, for a minute, I mean, Beck and Kyle are just hit and miss for me. Sometimes I really like what they do. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, what the?
Yeah.
They've never been folks I've consistently liked on the show. So yeah. they're very hit and miss with me.
I guess it's a very acquired taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Know, I like, mean, that, yeah.
It's they like have cilantro.
They do have a very specific type of humor. And
yeah. All right. Well, that's that. That's all I got to say. All right. So next sketch, Romano Torres. So after those two sketches, I was like, oh, no. But then this sketch came on. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm back on board. I kind
of
dug this.
I like this. This is one of my, this was one of the better things of the night. This was Adam Sandler as Joe Romano, who runs tours to Italy. And as the commercial goes on, he's emphasizing that just going to Italy will not fix whatever is wrong with your life.
Right. Like,
and that if you are depressed in the U.S., you will still be depressed in Italy.
Yeah, which I like that turn it took. I was like, oh, that's funny.
This was very funny. I enjoyed this. We had Kate and Beck as a couple who went, and they were talking about what a good time they had. But as time goes on, it emerges they didn't have as good a time as you initially thought, and they went back to their hotel room and they watched Paddington 2, which was good.
Paddington 2. But yeah, they call Venice the city of wetness, and they did talk about how like most of their clientele are people from Long Island or New Jersey.
Yes,
and it was like it's like one of those tours, like people go out to Italy to experience the culture, and they say we can do that, we can take you on a vacation, you can experience a culture, but this vacation can't fix the deeper issues you may have.
Right.
Like, we can take you on a hike, but we can't make you like hiking.
Right.
And I was like, I thought that was a very clever take on it.
I like how he actually had diagrams where it was like, you know, you will be you, but you will be the same sad you in Italy. And then they show like a little man like you'd see in a restroom over a graphic of Italy. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised this wasn't like a pre-tape sketch, because it seems to have like all the makings of like a digital short. But
I mean, maybe they decided to do it live just because you never want that many pre-tape things in the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have this.
The third word of the show's title is live. I mean, I think it behooves them to do the majority of the material live.
All right, very true.
But
I would have rather had this pre-taped than the close. But I'd rather not have to close at all. But
I mean, yeah, I don't know if taping would have added much of anything to it personally.
Right. Okay,
but. I think I'm going to disagree with you there, Darren.
This is the end of the podcast.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last episode of the SNL Nerds. We are breaking up right here and now.
Sorry.
We had a good run.
Call him like I see him.
But yeah, no, either way, I did like the sketch quite a bit. I thought this is a strong contender for like the
sketch of the night.
Yes, that's it.
So next we had Sandler family reunion with everyone in the cast doing their Sandler impressions. So it was Adam Sandler playing himself, and he's going to his family reunion, and everyone is doing a different different character from a different Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically very reminiscent of the SNL episode where Jim Carrey hosted, and he went to a Jim Carrey family reunion.
Right.
And everybody was, you know, already then and doing Ace Ventura and all of his other characters from other movies. And I thought this was all right.
We had Shawn Mendes as a cameo as his nephew, which confused me at first because I didn't recognize Shawn Mendes.
I saw the audience go crazy when they showed him, but I didn't recognize him, so I was like, all right,
I was like, I guess that's somebody.
That's probably the musical guest, if I had to guess it.
And and I eventually figured it out. We had Pete doing Little Nicky.
Yeah,
they never mentioned the name of the movie Little Nicky because I guess that movie was just such a flop they didn't even want to say the name.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're kind of supposed to know. But
and we had Melissa Villaseñor doing the Water Boy.
Yeah,
and then we had surprise cameos from Kristen Wiig and Jimmy Fallon doing their Sandler impressions. Kristen Wiig was doing his mother.
Yeah,
going,
from the
they're all gonna laugh at you.
Yeah, from his album.
Right. Yeah, because he had an album by that title.
Yes,
so.
They're all, that was a huge album back in the day. I think I remember, like, I guess I came out when I was in college, and like a lot of my friends were like, "This album's amazing," and like it was just one of those things. But then Fallon, I guess he just did like a, you know, Habba Dooba Dabba.
Fallon does a really good Sandler impression.
Yeah, he does. He does a great Sandler impression, but I didn't think he did that. I thought he just did the regular standard Habba Dooba Dabba impression.
Well, you know, you're once again been surprised by Jimmy Fallon's versatility.
Yeah, I know. So. I know. But yeah, so, I mean, I thought it was a cute sketch. It's like pretty much everybody doing the stereotypical standard Sandler.
How about you, about
you? How about you, about you?
Yeah, it was.
I'm in my family reunion.
It was basically our impression for a solid 4 minutes.
Once again, something could have been brought to my attention yesterday.
Yeah, and Beck Bennett came out dressed as the wedding singer, and Leslie Jones came out as Carl Weathers in Happy Gilmore.
You're right.
I forget. It was Chubbs. That's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like a lot. The whole sketch is basically a tribute to Adam Sandler and his body of work.
Right. And with the joke being that he's based all these characters on members of his family.
Yeah.
But really just an excuse for everyone to do their Adam Sandler impressions.
Excuse for everybody to go.
Which are ultra easy to do and also very fun to do.
As you've seen in this episode. Yeah. That's all you do.
Are we sick of that yet?
I'm not.
Am I beating that into the ground?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Please.
All right. Then stay tuned for more of my mediocre Adam Sandler impression.
Habba-dooba.
This was good. I personally found it funnier when it was Jim Carrey, just because it was a fresher idea, and also because I think Jim Carrey has had a wider variety of characters, I will say.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair to say.
So
it was like, all right.
I mean, this was fun. It didn't blow me away, but I didn't hate it either.
Yeah, pretty much. It's very,
very middle of the road.
Yeah, very much like Adam Sandler's movie career. Like, didn't blow me away, but I didn't hate it either.
I mean, it really just made me realize how few of his movies I've seen.
Wow.
Really?
About Billy Madison you've seen, right? Happy Gilmore?
No, I don't think I've seen either one of those all the way through. I've seen The Wedding Singer.
Right.
A few months back, I watched... What's the movie where he goes to Africa with Drew Barrymore? Blended?
Blended.
I watched that on TV.
51st Dates.
I've seen about half of 51st Dates.
Waterboy?
I think. I've never seen Waterboy.
Waterboy's okay. I actually saw that like when I used to work at my college newspaper and they sent it to me.
I did see...
Little Nicky?
I never saw Little Nicky. Maybe like 5 minutes on TV.
Big Daddy.
I did watch that on TV. I did watch Anger Management in the theaters. That was where my love of Jack Nicholson overcame my dislike for Adam Sandler. I actually like Sandler better as a straight actor than I do as a comedic actor.
I could see that. I mean, Punch Drunk Love, everybody really liked.
I know that got a lot of great reviews. I still haven't seen Punch Drunk Love. I did really like him in Spanglish. The movie has problems, but he's really good in it.
That I haven't seen.
He's good in Funny People. Again, the movie has it isn't wonderful, but he's good in it.
It has good parts, but as a whole, it's like... It's an Apatow movie, so it's a little longer than it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about 40 minutes longer than it should be.
Apatow, just trim the fat. Come on.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
He listens.
But
he listens to this podcast.
My favorite moment in Funny People was because Sandler's plays a famous comedian, very much like Adam Sandler,
right?
Who discovers that he has, was it cancer? He has some sort of life-threatening disease.
Right.
And then, like, spoiler alert, I guess, for Funny People. Midway through the movie,
it's a movie that came out 10 years ago.
He learns that he's not dying or that he's in remission or whatever.
Right.
And they show at one point there's this big party where, and there are some other comedian cameos.
Yeah.
Because, again, Apatow movie.
Yeah.
And my favorite moment was what Dave Attell just like looking at Adam Sandler and he just goes, "Aren't you dead?"
And God bless you, Attell.
I love that. You know, one, because it's Dave Attell.
And I thought you were dead.
Dave Attell is one of the funniest comics out there. God. But also because that just perfectly captures how comics bust each other's chops. Like, nothing is off limits. Mm-hmm. And it's you're at a party celebrating the fact that he is not dying.
Yeah.
And Dave Attell, that's exactly what a comic would say.
At that party. I thought you were dead. Yeah. Oh, God. Attell's amazing.
He's
an incredible man. So, yeah, that's our retrospective of our Adam Sandler filmography right there.
So next we had a pre-taped commercial.
What?
They heard you. They answered your prayers.
Oh, nice.
For a product called Retix.
Yes.
Which is an erectile dysfunction pill.
Yes.
That is actually a butt plug.
Yeah.
Which comes, it comes with an attached loop so you can remove it.
Right.
It's like a huge, they said like it was 5 inches long and
it's like the size of a water bottle.
Yeah. The size of a water bottle. And they have like computerized graphics to explain how this goes and helps you with your erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically in the commercial, Adam Sandler and A.D. Bryan are an older couple. They're talking to their son.
Beck Bennett,
who brought home his girlfriend, Heidi Gardner. And like the father and son have a heart-to-heart talk. And Beck says, you know, I'm having issues, you know, getting it up, you know, as one would tell his father.
Right.
And
we've all been there, right?
Yeah.
Right, fellas?
Hey, Pops.
Right, fellas?
Yeah. Hey, Pops, I got problems with my Johnson. And then his father says, oh, you should take Rectix. Mm-hmm. And he brings out this, you know, he keeps saying it's a pill.
Yeah.
And it's a huge, you know, it's obviously not a pill.
It's this huge suppository thing. And he's
and
like, oh, what? Does that dissolve? Does that?
Yeah. How do you take that? Like, how do you eat that? It's like, no, you put it up your anus.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's a butt plug. It's like, no, it's not a butt plug. You just put it up anally.
And it comes with this handle so that you can pull it out again.
Yeah. And then the mom comes in and he talks to the mom. It's like, is this? There's a butt plug, right? It's like, no, it's a pill.
Right.
Like, it's weird. Everybody seems to be, you know, accepting the fact that it's a pill. That the son is like,
and as it goes on, we discover it's dishwasher safe.
Yes.
He's like, you put that in the dishwasher? What the? And then Heidi comes out and she's like, oh, this is great lemonade. And then Beck bats the glass out of her hand. Don't drink from that. I liked the disclaimer at the end where they said, side effects may include slight discomfort, extreme discomfort, and a shift in a couple's power dynamic.
I didn't even see that.
It was just a great throwaway thing at the end. This was all right.
I liked it. Yeah, this was. Funny.
It's all about sticking stuff up people's keisters, but God damn it works.
How is that not funny?
Yeah,
my God. But yeah, I got a kick out of that one as well.
So next we had our musical guest, Shawn Mendes, who did two numbers. He did If I Can't Have You and In My Blood.
Yeah, I didn't write anything about this now that I'm looking at it.
Neither did I.
I was just like, oh, this is pleasant music, not offensive.
Inoffensive.
It seems like the type of music you'd hear at the Gap when you're buying khakis.
Yes.
Like
when you're getting pants for legs.
Yes. Oh, call back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it seems like inoffensive mall music when you're going to Banana Republic and buying some you know, Dockers or whatever whatever the heck.
Yep.
And that's really all I have to say. I mean it seems like he has a huge fan base. So a lot of people
They were happy to see him.
A lot of the ladies in the audience were loving him.
He's a cute boy. He's easy on the eyes.
He's a looker.
Mm-hmm.
And the end. That's really all I have to say.
It's not like, much else to say about him. So.
I know I'm supposed to say a while ago I said, oh, I'm going to listen to all the musical artists and
How's that going for you?
I kind of gave up on. Do we
want to say something about Weezer instead?
I'd love to say something about Weezer. Let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, I thought you had something prepared.
No.
I mean, I heard the last album, the Black Album.
Okay. How was that? Did you get the Teal album, the album of all the covers?
No? I heard it. I heard it on Spotify.
I like what I've heard of that.
It's all right.
I think I'm still going to get that. I may download that on the iTunes when I get home.
I guess I need to grow up and listen to Ratitude. Because I heard that and I was like, all right, this is pleasant. And it's all right. It's fine. But okay. I was like, well, I just miss the old Weezer.
Yeah.
Scott Stapp, come back to us. Not Scott Stapp. Was it Scott? Oh, no, the original bassist wasn't Scott Stapp. That's the dude from the Creed.
Yeah. You want the
Matt Sharp.
You want the dude from Creed to join Weezer? Is that what you want?
Yeah, no, I don't want...
Because, for God's sakes, don't enough people hate Weezer already?
All right, I take
that. That would just drive away all the fans that they have left.
Okay, I'm going to walk that back.
Yeah.
Scott Stapp, if you... No, don't
yeah.
get nowhere...
Matt Sharp.
Matt Sharp. That's the only one... Scott Stapp. Why did he say... Jesus.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Oh, this Shawn Mendes thing has really got my brain in a tizzy.
That's true. Should we just move on to Weekend Update?
Let's move on to Weekend Update.
So we had our friends Colin Jost and Michael Che. And, should we talk about the brouhaha with the two of them that was on social media?
If you want to, yeah.
Maybe I should just briefly talk about it since I brought it up.
Sure, all right.
We weren't planning to bring this up, but...
This is unplanned,
there was an article on... Was it Vulture, I think it was?
Uprocks,
okay. There was a thing about Uprocks about, like, why do people dislike Colin Jost?
I didn't know that was a thing.
That was like...
I mean, unless they're talking about you.
I mean, I was not mentioned by name in the article, but I felt very seen.
Yeah. We read between the lines.
Yeah. It was just like, because like, it seems like the people who dislike Colin Jost really, really hate him, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, did you read the article? Like,
I did.
What did they say specifically?
Oh, boy. It's been a few weeks since I read it.
I mean, I know they mentioned that, like, oh... A reason to hate him is because he's dating Scarlett Johansson. I'm like, is that
Well, I think there is some resentment there, definitely. And
haters gonna hate.
I think I think there was a comparison of him to like sort of like those entitled frat guys that you would find in like 80s movies, you know, like the preppy villains or something like that. I think there's also some resentment for him because like he's a guy who went to Harvard and he's very entitled. He came into SNL, I think, almost right after graduating, and he was...
Yeah, but a lot of people have done that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I understand what you're saying. I get it.
But, I mean, I think there can be a sense like maybe he's somebody who hasn't paid his dues or has gotten more than he deserves or something like that.
Possibly.
I mean, I think the bottom line is just... a lot of people don't find him funny enough to justify all that he has received.
So yeah, all right, fair. I guess you could. Yeah.
But Michael Che like really objected to this article and apparently was like started going after the writer of the article online.
Right. And it's really kind of weird way.
On his Instagram account, he was like, oh, there's a guy by this name who like fucks farm animals. And I'm not saying it's the same guy, but...
he has this name, but if it's not him, I apologize, but I heard he has sex with dogs. But if it's not him, I apologize. It was very odd.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell he was just fucking with the guy, but he walked the line.
And then like people are coming back at Che about this, and it was a whole weird thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems to have died down a bit, so... I mean, unless it got sparked up from us talking about it now.
It probably did. I mean, we are social media influencers.
Yes,
let's
right.
Let's face it. I mean, we have, last I checked, I believe, 173 Twitter followers.
What?
So, I mean.
We are pretty big fish.
We're big shit.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
At SNL Nerd Show, by the way.
That's right.
But yeah, that was weird. I think it was just you know, one of those social media things where it's like, oh, this is the latest controversy du jour.
There has to be some new controversy of the day, or else why bother getting on social media at all?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why get on social media if I can't be angry?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you need something to be outraged by every day, right?
That's how we live now.
You can't just go through life enjoying shit. I mean,
no, what?
Come on,
jeepers, creepers, no way.
Yeah, but anyway,
Nuh-uh.
so.
Oh, okay.
As I unplugged my microphone, sorry about that. At least I noticed. So we have weekend update.
Yes.
So what do we think of this?
It's not bad. I mean, they do a thing where like Colin Jost will make his first joke will usually be about something that they addressed in the cold open,
mm-hmm.
and they did that too about the KFC chicken in the bucket and
yeah.
How does our reality now and mm-hmm. whatnot? And that was okay. Che had better stuff as always.
Yeah, where I mean, I just thought Joe's stuff was very obvious. Like, you know, oh, think of the poor intern who had to go out to a KFC at dawn. It's like,
and say, oh, no, this is for my boss. He's a congressman.
Yeah.
Maybe that Uproxx writer had a point. I don't think of it.
I like I said, I did not disagree with a whole lot in that article.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not a big one for Joe's.
Yeah, that's true. But Che had better stuff where, like, he was talking about how
if they're not releasing the Mueller report, you know, why don't we just steal the damn report?
Like, just steal it.
And
like they found Hillary's emails, you could steal a bootleg copy of this.
Exactly. He also had a line I really liked. He said, "Democrats deal with Trump like white people deal with misbehaving kids in the supermarket." It's like, okay, Jimmy, I'm going to count to 40.
Yeah. I mean, it's very true. See, yeah. Che has the stronger stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Correspondent, Elizabeth Warren.
Kate McKinnon perfecting her Elizabeth Warren impression.
Yeah.
Talking about how she wants to give the free college tuition and the blowback she's getting from that.
Yeah, like how she's trying to get like stuff done, you know, mm-hmm. get policies pushed through, but people seem to be all wowed by Beto O'Rourke parkouring inside a coffee shop. Like people are falling for all these like kind of gimmicks.
The flashier.
Yeah, flashy gimmicks rather than, hey, I'm trying to do some stuff here.
And it's kind of tough and it's kind of brave to like base an impression on how not flashy a candidate is.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of the slant they were taking on Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, very much so.
Which, I mean, yeah, she's got to be a hard person to impersonate because she doesn't have a whole lot of exaggerated mannerisms. She's very soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And very... I don't have an ending for that sentence, but I mean, that's
the end.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I thought it was a pretty good, Elizabeth Warren impression.
Yeah. It's not bad.
I like they had the line. She said, "I'm setting myself apart from the other candidates by saying what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it."
Yeah. It's like, wow. Exactly. It's just, we've got a lot of Democrats running so far.
They're like over 20 last I heard, I think.
I mean, what's
it's going to whittle down, obviously.
But, has it always been this much and that you just never noticed?
It's usually, I'd say, at least 8, maybe around a dozen. This is more than we usually have, I think.
Crime,
because, mate. I mean, this is obviously one of those election years that's going to be up for grabs. Oof. On the Democratic side.
I guess so. Well,
I mean, because we got the Elizabeth Warren, we got the Beto O'Rourke, where they're saying Bill de Blasio is going to declare this week.
Yeah.
Joe Biden just got into the race.
Sanders.
We got Bernie Sanders back in.
Kamala Harris.
We got
Booker.
That gentleman whose name I still can't quite pronounce, Buddha Greg?
Buddha Gesundheit.
Yeah, it's Buddha something.
I know, I didn't mean, Buttafuoco.
Yes, Joey Buttafuoco.
That's right.
Going for the Democratic nomination.
It's going to bring back them.
You heard it here first.
Going to bring back those MC Hammer pants.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Can't this touch this.
This country has suffered from a lack of MC Hammer pants.
Yes. Joey Buttafuoco, he's dope on the floor and he's magic on the
mic. That's right.
Now, why would I ever stop doing this? Oh, I'm sorry.
I
you don't remember? You can't touch this?
I remember you
but
can't
you
touch this.
Words.
I don't remember that specific lyric from You Can't Touch
it's
This.
I can't even talk to you.
Anymore. I remember the da-da-da-da-da.
But you don't remember the lyrics? You can't touch it. My music hits me so hard. Makes me say, oh my Lord.
I remember that.
All right, fine.
I'm with you there.
I can't even talk to you.
Keep going and I'll tell you where you lose me.
All right, forget it. All right, so then after Elizabeth Warren, Che had some great jokes. Talked about de Blasio running for president, saying, mm-hmm. oh, he's going to run for president, but, you know.
Because he's a New Yorker, he's not going to run on nights and weekends.
Exactly. Which is a pretty easy joke.
If you've taken in the subway in New York, that spoke to you.
That's a very New York joke. And he also talked about how the Pope is warning folks against, you know, salon gossip,
mm-hmm.
especially gossip that, you know, starts off with stuff like, oh, did you hear about what happened to his altar boys?
Yeah.
That got the audience like, oh.
Yeah.
Jay will go there.
He will go there.
He will go there. And the last correspondent, we had an old friend come back.
The Adam Sandler revisiting his old character of Aquaman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember the Aquaman? Aquaman.
I also remember Aquaman. Yes.
Remember that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Aquaman, thoughts? I thought it was all right.
It was all right. I was never nuts about Aquaman, I'll be quite honest. He was not a character I was clamoring for the return of.
You are hard to impress. You're a cold man.
I'm just being upfront. I was never particularly a big Adam Sandler fan on SNL. So
okay, no, that's fair.
I mean, it was exciting that he came back to host the show, just because he was a big hit on the show and he's like a fondly remembered guy. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't in his target audience, you know.
Okay. Yeah, so, but I mean, you know, it's this opera man. Of course, he always sings about the news of the day in his opera voice. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. How about you, whatnot.
That's how it went.
A little
yes.
bit better than that.
Yes.
Like he had a joke about the movie coming out, the Long Shot.
With Seth Rogen romancing Charlize Theron.
And he's
a goofy man and pretty lady. And he said, where have I seen this before? Yeah. And then they throw up like four stills from Adam Sandler movies.
Adam Sandler movies. Like, oh, that's
you know,
cool.
Here's Adam Sandler with Drew Barrymore. Here's him with Jennifer Aniston. Here's him with...
Salma Hayek was his wife.
Oh, yeah, in the Grown Ups movies.
Yeah, I was like, Selma Hayek's your wife, really?
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Sandler? Mm. That's what we're doing?
Yeah.
Oh, and wasn't Kate Beckinsale one of his wives, too?
Yes, in the remote
Click.
Movie. Click. Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. Sandler, you son of a bitch. You sly dog.
You do have to admire him for building a movie career out of him being with women light years out of his league and shooting these movies at places where Sandler wants to take vacations.
And he
has outright admitted this on a talk show. He
that's
like,
the
yeah,
dream.
I'm doing 50 first dates in Hawaii because I want to shoot a movie in Hawaii. I'm doing Blended in Africa because I want to go to Africa.
I mean, if you it's great work if you can get it.
He's figured it out. He's living his best life.
Yeah, God bless you. All right. Yeah. So, I would do the exact same thing if I could.
Yeah.
I can't hate the player, I hate the game.
Exactly.
All right.
So, I mean, but did you enjoy seeing Upper Man?
Yeah. I kind of brought back
some fun.
Brought back some feelings. Like, oh, yeah, I remember the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. It was good.
I liked he also was like very self-deprecating because he was like, at the end, he was saying, it's been 24 years and 24 pounds since I did this. And they put up a shot of Adam Sandler from the 90s, like young Adam Sandler in his 20s as Opera Man.
But he still can sing, you know, Opera Man, bye, boy.
Yeah.
He still hits it. And of course, at the end, they throw roses at him.
Mm-hmm,
I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. They threw roses.
I mean, it gave him a good, pardon the pun, it gave him a good high note to go out on
for
Weekend Update. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I approve Opera Man.
Yeah, they did. And this is like the only one of his characters that he revisited during the show, really.
Yeah. Okay, I think a lot of, we were kind of discussing what he would bring back. We do the Gap Girls. Would he do Cajun Man?
Would he do Canteen Boy?
Canteen Boy. I mean,
would he get sexually abused by Alec Baldwin again?
Yeah. Oddly, people don't find that as funny anymore. Go figure.
It was just too real.
Yeah, PC culture ruining everything. Can't laugh at molestation anymore. Thanks a lot, lib cucks. So the next sketch was...
Just ringing that bell for no reason.
Yeah. All right, good. So the next sketch was the last call sketch that they had where Kate McKinnon plays Sheila Sauvage, and she's the last person at the bar before they close. And
if you shake up the letters, it spells Shallow Vage.
I did. There's no W, but it worked. Yeah.
Well, she's drunk.
I see. Oh, that's not accurate. Damn it! So
we had. I mean, the recurring joke in the sketch is it's last call, and there are two people who are hooking up, and they both.
Yeah, they're both kind of gross.
They're both settling, and they're both gross people who should not be hooking up with anybody.
Yeah, and a lot of the talk is about, you know, they're grossly coming on to one another.
Right, but, and Keenan as the bartender being just wanting to tear his own eyeballs out.
Yes, discuss it on many levels.
Yes.
But then they did a thing here where in this sketch, Kristen Wiig comes in, and then like Kristen Wiig and... Kate McKinnon start talking.
Because we're following the old SNL tradition of, if you're going to use Kristen Wiig, you might as well horribly overuse her.
Yes.
And just bring her back for every single thing.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig, could you just do the whole show now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of odd, because it was, I mean, it kind of takes away, like, kind of shifts the energy a little bit. Where
yeah, but I mean, I don't mind it with a recurring sketch. If you're, I think if you're doing a recurring sketch, you should bring something new to it, and you should change up the dynamic a bit. So yeah. I thought, you know, them discussing like, oh, how are we going to do this three way, and then. And they had a nice energy among the three of them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I enjoyed that. You know, like spraying the Windex in each other's mouths.
Yeah, that was weird.
Waking out before making out and then reenacting the Lady and the Tramp thing.
Oh, yeah. They at the end of the sketch, they eat discarded spaghetti
right.
out of a trash and then just get gross with it. And Kristen Wiig talked about how her and Adam Sandler are poly
mm-hmm.
Cystic.
Yes. A line I really liked was instead of having a 69, they were going to do a 7-Eleven where they all get into bed together and then they rotate around like hot dogs on the rack.
As someone who eats a lot of 7-Eleven hot dogs, that hit me where I live.
So, you know, this was all right. I think this sketch is probably about it at the end of its life because they've done it a lot.
Yeah, have they?
It seems like a lot. I mean, at least a half dozen times, I would say. I haven't looked it up, but...
That sounds about right.
I feel like it's at the end of this... About the end of its life. I also feel like I used to like it a lot more, and I feel like it's also getting like a little too dependent on cutting away to Keenan and doing visual gags with Keenan.
Yeah, and just basically how like gross Kate and whoever she's making mm-hmm. out with get. Like,
yeah.
It's just that like, oh, they're like... Tongue in each other's faces and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if they totally stop doing this, I don't think like a year or two from now I'm going to be like, hey, remember that?
Yeah,
I'm not going to be waxing nostalgic for this sketch.
You. But yeah, so. it was fine. But it's they need to wrap this up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the final sketch of the night, the one that everybody—I mean, it's not a sketch, a song—but mm-hmm. one everybody's kind of talking about. It's just Adam Sandler with a guitar. Singing a tribute song to the late, great Chris Farley.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be like the exact same thing that he did in his Netflix special.
Right, his last stand-up special, yeah. Which
And actually, now that I think about it, I should have seen this coming, but for some mm-hmm. reason I didn't. And then when they started to do it, it was like, oh yeah, that's right. Because like when the Netflix special came out,
mm-hmm.
one of the big things about that everybody was talking about was that tribute song.
Mm-hmm.
And like for some reason, I didn't think he was going to do it on SNL, and I, but...
I seem to remember there was some chatter about him possibly doing it. Huh. On SNL when was announced.
I didn't hear anything about
You're out
this.
Of the loop.
What?
You're out of the loop.
Why wasn't I consulted about this?
Well, we had a secret meeting and we were just like, should we tell Darren about this? Nah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. You know, I'm sorry. If we hadn't had our falling out like 20 minutes ago in this episode, I might have let you in on it.
Oh, but, so now it's my fault.
But we disagreed about that sketch earlier and yeah, now you're out of the loop.
All right. Well, let's build bridges here.
Yeah.
Boy. All right. But yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, criticize this song at all. I mean, it's a very, very sweet song about
a man
singing to his passed away cast member and mm-hmm. friend, and showing pictures of him. And they showed like it looked like they showed like a lot of personal pictures, like behind the scenes.
There were a few, and they also like whenever he directly referenced a sketch in there, they had a relevant clip,
right? Of course, the iconic Chippendales, mm-hmm. and iconic Matt
and
Foley.
He mentioned the Gap Girls and the Lunch Lady, and right. a lot of the stuff they did together, and just you know, it's a very sweet song.
They even mentioned had some really kind of touching moments, like when he was talking about how he saw Farley backstage one time and he was like crying thinking about his dad.
He was listening to
Casey and the Sunshine Band or something.
Yeah,
like
I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like and that seemed like a real like actually happened, like a real moment.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And then I mean the fact that he shared that was pretty like ooh.
And he was saying he like called up Sandler and to share that he was fired and then he called up Farley to share that he was fired and then Farley goes, "Sandman, I was fired too."
Yeah.
And the last time he saw him was at Tim Meadows' wedding.
Yeah.
And
I was like, wow.
And then he was gone a few months later. And yeah.
Yeah. And then he saw, and they brought it back. And we said his father, you know, it was his father's turn to mm-hmm. cry at his funeral. I was mm-hmm. like, wow. Wow. That's really, it's really beautiful, man.
Yeah. It was nice. I see why they put this at the end of the show because it's very,
yeah.
It's a touching and it's a sad thing. And you don't necessarily want to do comedy after that. So
yeah.
it was a nice thing to end the Sean and even at the good nights, like some of the cast members seem to be a little teary about it.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine because like a lot of those cast members, they grew up with Sandler and Farley, so to mm-hmm. see like this hit them, like I'm sure they were like little kids and they remember all this. Like I still remember like when I heard Farley died, I was like in college and like I think I was in a computer lab If you remember those things, then
yes,
I was on my, you know, Commodore 64 or whatever.
You see, kids, there was once upon a time when not everybody had a computer.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had to go to a lab and sometimes even book time to be at a computer.
I know, right? You had to go to the place and sign in.
You could write your papers, or in my case, I was doing like Photoshop stuff.
Yeah.
For my graphic design degree.
I was just looking up, hip hop albums to illegally download.
Thought you were going to say cyber porn.
No, okay. I don't do that anymore. But I was, up on, Netscape Navigator and whatnot. And then a friend of mine was looking and he saw, oh, wow, Chris Farley died. We were like, oh, wow. And it was a heavy day.
I don't know if I remember when I heard about Chris Farley passing away, because I remember it was like just a few months after. No, wait. Like Farley died first, and then Phil Hartman died.
Is that?
I think I remember.
I thought Hartman died first.
I was thinking that, but now I remember seeing a clip of Phil Hartman talking about Farley after he died, and I think there was only like a few month window where.
All right, well,
before Hartman passed away, and Darren is looking it up right now so we can be factually accurate.
I'm typing
on this
feverish
SNL podcast because we are the SNL nerds.
That's right.
So we should get facts like this right. As I recall,
Hartman died May 28th, 1998.
Okay.
And Chris Farley.
Farley. Let's see.
He died December 18th, 1997. Oh, wow. All right. So a year before.
So about 6 months apart.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know. I forgot it was that close.
So I remember Hartman's death definitely hit me harder because that was the much more surprising and unexpected because, everyone who knew Chris Farley knew that he had a problem with the substance abuse.
Yeah.
And he'd been in rehab like several times. And so
it was
very sad, but it was not unexpected.
Yeah, it was spiraling towards that.
Yeah.
But like the Hartman thing, everybody was like, whoa. And I'm sure people in their circles knew, his wife was having issues and all that stuff.
Yeah, but the general public.
But
I had no idea.
And so like that was, so yeah, those, oof, yipes.
I mean, it's a shame. I wish both of those guys were still around. Yes. I would have loved to see what they would have developed further developed into, should say. But.
Absolutely. Wow, what a depressing note to end this podcast on.
I mean, what do we think of this episode overall, though?
This episode, overall, I thought it was all right. I thought it was good. Up peaks and valleys. Like I said, the Romano sketch I liked, the Rectic sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And
those were both good.
And the song at the end is, of course, very touching.
Mm-hmm.
Close. Let's set about that, the better. And all the other skits.
I'm just shaking my head.
John's rolling his eyes like I've never seen a man roll his eyes before.
That holes thing.
Oh, God.
That's just... Why? Why, Beck and Kyle? Why?
If somebody came,
what did I do to you two?
If somebody came to me with that idea for a sketch, I would fire them immediately. I was like, what? Like, get out of here. Go.
Go back to your room and go back to your office and think about what you've done. Sit in the corner. You're in a timeout. You're in a timeout, Beck and Kyle.
Grow up and listen to Ratitude. But yeah, I mean, overall, I thought this was a good episode.
Yeah, I thought it was decent. I thought it was like okay at best. It got off to a really weak start for me.
I'll give you that, but
it did better later on. I think the Romano vacation spot was good, and the Rectix was good.
Yeah.
But
and Opera Man too. Opera Man.
But I was not necessarily the target audience for this one because I wasn't a huge Adam Sandler fan.
Okay.
So I would be much more excited about someone else like Dana Carvey hosting or
Carve. Yeah, I think somebody asked that on Twitter, like, what SNL cast member who hasn't hosted would you want to see host?
That's a good question. Who?
I mean, Murphy. I mean, technically he did. Eddie Murphy did, but like it was like in the 80s and stuff. But
I mean, Eddie Murphy is one of those things that it doesn't even really seem possible.
Yeah. It's
amazing enough he came back for the 40th anniversary. And I feel like we should just be happy with that.
Yeah.
And even then, he didn't mix in any sketches. He was originally supposed to play Bill Cosby in that one sketch, and he
He was like, nah.
He didn't, so we got Keenan instead.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah.
I mean, it's and nothing against Keenan's Cosby. Keenan's Cosby is perfectly fine, but having Eddie Murphy play Cosby, yeah. that really would have put that over the top.
The originator of the Cosby impression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. He was the guy who decoded Bill Cosby.
That's right. Maybe Rachel Dratch would be good to host because she's never done it, but...
Well, she's got that thing coming up. You were talking about there's a Netflix movie coming up with Rachel Dratch and some other SNL alum.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's a movie come out called Wine Country. I saw a trailer for it. I actually kind of dig it. It looks like grown-ups, but for women of a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
And some tell me it might be written a little bit better.
We had Amy Poehler. We had Maya Rudolph. Yes. There was Paul Appel in it. Paul Appel, ex-SNL writer, who, by the way, is fucking killing it on AP Bio.
Ooh.
If you're not watching AP Bio,
check
out AP Bio. You'll see some hilarity.
I will check out AP Bio.
Great show.
And also has Rachel Dratch, Anna Gasteyer, and Tina Fey's in it. And it's basically... Mm-hmm. It's a group of friends in their late 40s and 50s. One of them, it's their birthday. They're about to turn 50, so they all spend a weekend in wine country, drinking wine, getting into arguments, old things surface, and just ladies coming to grips with getting older.
And it's premiering on Netflix. Was it this Friday?
Yes.
This coming Friday?
May 10th. It looks
May
good.
10th. All right.
It's just like a bunch of SNL alums, and I don't see how this could go wrong. I'm looking forward to this.
All right. Well, we should check it out. Well, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit next week.
Absolutely.
That'd be fun.
I'm setting my DVR.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our episode, guys.
That's our episode. Next week, SNL is back with another new episode with first-time host Emma Thompson and musical guest the Jonas Brothers.
Joe Bros.
That's going to be an interesting episode. I mean, just that combo alone.
Yeah, that's a weird... they have weird combinations like that before.
And that'll be interesting because I know Emma Thompson, she started out in sketch comedy.
She did?
I believe. Or improv comedy. She came up with...
Hugh and Laurie?
Yeah, Hugh and Laurie. And,
no, it's Hugh Laurie. Wait, not Hugh and Laurie. That's Hugh Laurie. Jeez.
Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry.
That's what I meant.
The weird thing is I totally followed that.
I thought you would have corrected me.
No, I was like, Hugh and Laurie. That great comedy team that never existed. Hugh and Laurie. Yes.
Hugh and Laurie, that's one man. All right.
Yeah, yeah. She's done some funny stuff. She's, if you've never seen the Jeff Goldblum movie, The Tall Guy, very funny stuff.
I have not seen that.
It's a movie from like 1989, 1990. Jeff Goldblum's a struggling actor in England, and he's the tall guy. He's the stooge in a live stage show by a horrible actor played by Rowan Atkinson.
Blackadder.
So he's the guy who gets Mr. Bean, and he's the guy who gets like hit with all the stuff and knocked over and all that, and he falls in love with the nurse played by Emma Thompson.
Huh.
And it was done by Richard Curtis, who later did Three Weddings and a Funeral and Four Weddings and a Funeral.
They added
We're getting every single name wrong today.
Don't come at us for accuracy.
Look, we looked up the death dates for Phil Hartman and Chris Farley. What more do you want from us?
What more
people?
Do you want?
What more do you want? What more can we give?
Criminy.
But that's a very funny movie. It's kind of a cult movie.
Okay. All right. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
I got Wine Country and I got The Tall Guy.
You've got a busy week ahead of you, my friend.
I have a feeling I'm going to mess it up and watch The Fall Guy by accident, but I'm going to try not to.
That's also cool. Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. That's the extent of my knowledge of the lyrics of The Fall Guy.
I didn't even know that much. I was just that's why I was just clapping along. Oh, God. This episode is deteriorating.
It is, as they all do.
As they're wont to do.
Eventually.
All right, so, if you want to follow me on Instagram or Twitter, follow me at Darren Credible, people, Darin Credible. And, I got a show coming up, May 16th. If you're in the Jersey area, you can see me at the Double Platinum Comedy Show at South Street Social in beautiful Morristown, New Jersey. It's a great show hosted by Ritu Chandra and Rich McDonald.
Nice. All right. So have fun with that. I'm on the social media at Trumbull Comic. You can follow me on there. And coming up in a couple weeks, I'm going to be at the East Coast Comic Con. That's over in the New Jersey Meadowlands, and I'm moderating a few panels there. I should be doing a Tales of the Kubert School panel. We're talking all about the Joe Kubert School, where I went to to art school, and also a panel with cast members from Batman the Animated Series with Kevin Conroy, Batman, Lauren Lester, Robin and Nightwing, Diane Pershing, Poison Ivy, John Glover, who was the Riddler, Andre Romano, the voice director who cast all those people, and Kevin Altieri, who directed many of the great episodes of Batman. So we're gonna have fun talking about Batman, and I'll possibly be doing some other things as well.
Wow, big things happening over here.
Big things happening.
We're moving and a shaking.
We are important men.
Yes, absolutely. We're fancy folks.
And once again, you can follow the Twitter for the show at SNL Nerds Show.
And of course the Patreon, always, you know, give us some dough.
You go to non-productive.com. You just click on the Patreon and then you indicate that you are contributing to the SNL Nerd Show. But please check out all the other shows on the non-productive network.
Yeah, there's a
lot of good stuff.
All A1.
Actually, I should mention that. I recently guest starred. We did a non-pro special leading up to the Avengers Endgame.
Oh, that's right.
So you can, I don't believe I mentioned that on this show before, but we had a lot of fun with that. We went through all the previous 22 Marvel movies.
Yeah, I listened. It was a
big round robin thing.
It was a fantastic episode.
That was a lot of fun. I should also mention a couple other podcasts I was on recently.
Okay.
I was on an episode of my friend Ryan Daly's show, A Cheers Cast.
Oh.
Where we talk about the show Cheers.
Oh.
And
so it's, that's why they call it Cheers.
Yeah, it checks out, right?
Yeah.
I've been on that show a couple times before. So much fun. Love that show. In this one, we talked about a couple mini episodes of Cheers that they did. One that was a lead into the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And one that was all about selling savings bonds.
Huh.
So check that out. So
that's very specific.
Yes. So go to Cheerscast and find that. I had a lot of fun on that.
Okay.
So I think that is about it this time around.
I think that's about it. And that's all I got.
That's all I got. Okay. So we will see you next week for Emma Thompson and the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Until then, take care.
Smell you later.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.